All right, that's a perfect transition to talk a little Anthony Davis. Want to spend some time on AD real quick, okay? Anthony Davis against the Utah Jazz. He had 42 points, double-digit rebounds, double-digit free throw attempts, took 28 shots. AD was unstoppable against the Utah Jazz. And, you know, I want to go a step further here. Who was Anthony Davis doing it against? AD wasn't doing it against just some scrub in the NBA trying to run the power forward or center position. AD was doing it against the defensive player of the year 2 years in a row, Rudy Gobert. AD is, you know, when we talk about him and his capabilities being top five in the NBA, it's not a conversation. What Anthony Davis is able to do on both sides of the floor, it's a very, very unique skill set. And there's a reason why Lakers traded as many players as they did, because he's the present and he's also the future. He's everything for the Lakers. Before we went to break, I talked about how I was just kind of setting this up. AD playing aggressive, that's not a luxury. That's a necessity. So I don't know what happened in today's game, but obviously the energy that Anthony Davis came out with, completely different today than it was in the last matchup against the Utah Jazz. Now, do I also understand that there has to be this kind of mindset for the Lakers, and you understand that because they're the number one seed and just because of the position that they're in, of course, no question about it, he's not going to play with that sense of urgency once we're in the postseason. But I just reference all that, and I say all that because at the end of the day, if Anthony Davis doesn't play like he did against the Utah Jazz, and I'm not talking about having to put up 42 points a night and 14 rebounds and get to the free throw line 15 times. I know that's not going to happen every single night. But if AD just doesn't play with that type of energy and doesn't play with that type of aggressiveness, you explain to me how the Lakers are going to win an NBA championship. I didn't get a chance to play Anthony Davis in the postgame show when we were doing the Lakers postgame show, but I did tease and I did mention that I was going to play it in Lakers talk. So I'm very curious to kind of get his thoughts on the game, kind of his mindset, why he was so, he wasn't just as assertive as we were hoping for. 3 of 11 from the field, only got to the free throw line 4 times. Let me play this Anthony Davis, and then we'll take some of your guys' calls after this. Here's AD from after the game, after the Lakers lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hey, Anthony, LeBron was just talking about how unique, of course, this bubble situation is and how it's difficult in some ways to know how to react to it, given that it's so unique. What are you seeing, if anything, that's going to with the offense and how you guys have been playing and trying to find a rhythm, if at all?
I think it's just simple, just making shots. We're getting good looks. Everybody on the team, everyone is, not shooting the ball very well, especially from three. We talked about on the bench that, we're happy that it's going on now and not, later in the playoffs. But, at some point in time, we're gonna have a game, where we make 20, 25 threes and be able to go from there. So we just got to, stay the course and just keep shooting the basketball.
What about the defensive end, where it seems like you guys have been sharper since you got to Orlando? What are the principles, AD, that are carrying over from the regular season on that end of the floor?
Yeah, we just try to keep our defensive intensity up, especially when we have games like this. We want to still make sure that we're giving a lot of energy and effort on the defensive end. We know guys are going to make shots, when they play us, but we continue to do the right things defensively, we'll be fine.
Hey, Anthony, it's Dave. I mean, there's all sorts of factors going into this unique situation. You're playing in gyms you never played in before. You have a couple new players you're integrating. You're missing a couple guys you relied on all year long. You are, playing on legs that had a 4-month layoff. Is it a little bit of everything? And if it is, can you just will yourself to push through? Or is it just there's going to take some time? Like, how do you kind of view the entirety of where you guys stand at 2-2 so far?
I think we're fine. you know, obviously we're trying to integrate some guys that, you know, haven't been here, trying to get those guys going while getting our, you know, some guys that was here before, you know, continue getting going again. So I don't think, you know, anything is really coming up besides the three-point shooting, but, you know, I think we're fine. I mean, I don't think, you know, anything is, you know eye-opening, you know, something that we need to be afraid of. You know, all things are going to come around. Like I said, we continue to do the things that we've been doing defensively. You know, we'll be fine. If our defense was bad, then, you know, I think, you know, we'll be a little bit more, you know, in shock about, you know, our team and where we are. But I think our defense is you know, where we want it to be. And, you know, we clinch first. So, I mean, we're fine. You know, obviously we want to win games and continue to improve. And, you know, but, you know, we just want to make sure that we continue to stay sharp and continue to sharpen our tools going into the postseason.
Tanya Gagouli, what gives you confidence that the offense will be fine?
We have a lot of veteran guys. You know, no one is really hanging their head. You know, obviously guys want to make shots. You know, we're getting wide open shots, like super wide open. And, you know, guys are confident in their shots and not hesitating. It's not like we're, you know, missing pretty bad. You know, the shots are right there. We just got to keep shooting the basketball, and guys know that. Guys are in the gym every day putting shots up. So, you know, we have confidence in each other that, you know, we're going to make shots.
Kyle Goon?
You said you're pretty sure the offense is going to come around. You know, the remaining seeding game, maybe you guys get rest, maybe some weird stuff happens in that sense. And if the offense doesn't come around before the playoffs actually start, can you feel comfortable about that?
It will. I'm 100% positive it will. You know, it's not really more so our, you know, our offense is actually good. Like, we're making the right plays. You know, we run our sets hard. We finding guys, you know, for wide open shots. It's just the shooting that we have to, you know, take our time and not down shots. So we're, you know, getting everything we want offensively. Easy looks. You know, guys missing layups. You know, air ball floaters that I make. Missing free throws. Like, things that we normally do. It just isn't happening. You know, it's not like our offense is bad where we have bad spacing or we're not in the right spot. It's more so, you know, guys just being comfortable with making shots.
Joe Bard,
do you even hear playing alongside him, do you still feel like you have to be good every night for the Lakers to win? Is that a burden to carry?
I won't say it's a burden, but I feel like, you know, I do have to play good to give our team a chance to win. Just as any other star in the league, you know, you don't want to have bad games. You know, it's good that, you know, myself or LJ can have a bad game and we can still win. You know, that's the luxury of having, you know, two guys of our caliber, but and having a great supporting cast as well. So, you know, especially now while we're not, you know, making shots, you know, on a consistent basis, you know, it's. It doesn't. The chances are not in our favor when, you know, we're not playing well
either. Well, I appreciate Anthony Davis, you know, saying that he's obviously got confidence in all his players and the players on outside of LeBron and AD. Here's the reality: Lakers aren't going to go very far unless Anthony Davis is having monster games. And LeBron, it goes without saying as well. LeBron, it's got to be 20-something points. It's got to be 10 assists. It's got to be 11, 12 rebounds. It's got to be low turnovers. But then Anthony Davis, it's going to be two block shots, a steal, 25 to 30 points, getting to the free throw line 10 to 12 times, shooting at a high percentage, taking, you know, a number of shots rather than some of these other players, you know, obviously having to shoot in place of AD. So, yeah, the Lakers are going to, if Anthony Davis is, if there are times during this postseason he's the best player on the floor, we got a chance to win an NBA championship. If he isn't, Lakers are going to struggle. I mean, I'm just going to use tonight's game as an example, and it's not the end-all, be-all that the Lakers lost to the Thunder. But it's games like this. I mean, if he's got 11 shots, he's only takes four free throws, Lakers aren't going to win many of these games. Okay, Newton, who's calling from Tokyo. Newton, thank you for being a part of the show, my man. I appreciate you calling
in. Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, just checking in. I know you want to talk about AD now, so I just wanted to kind of
what's your thoughts? Great. Yeah, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great against Utah, and you know, obviously Toronto did a good job. You know, tonight just a little concerning. Well, the whole team, not just AD, but you know, that they didn't do. Didn't make it on their make their open shots.
Well, how about the bubble? How about Newton? Just the bubble in general. What have you thought?
I think it's great. I think it's been, you know, I mean, we spoke a few months back and right before COVID hit, and then I've been watching, and it's, I think, you know, NBA has done a stunning job. You know, you've seen MLB and, you know, NFL coming up and kind of, I don't have the same optimism, but I think NBA has done a stellar job in what they're doing with testing and keeping the bubble intact.
And Newen, what I meant was just how the Lakers are doing inside the bubble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm definitely concerned. I know that, you know, they locked up number one. They don't want to go all out technically and kind of burn out so fast. But, I mean, you've seen, you know, Portland, all these guys fighting hard. And the Lakers, just they don't look like the Lakers. You
know,
look
smooth.
They look like,
yeah, it doesn't look that smooth right now.
Yeah, yeah. And it'd be nice, you know, yeah, you don't want to play, you know, these guys full minutes, I think, now that everything's locked up. But it'd be nice to, you know, get up to a big lead and then sit them, not the other way around where you're trailing by 10, 20 points the whole game.
Well, Newton, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for giving me your thoughts. Call in anytime, whether the post-game show or Lakers talk. So thank you for being a part of the show.
All right, Alan. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Thank you. You know, by the way, I couldn't even think here because I was in Tokyo back in September. And the food is just ridiculous in Japan, but specifically Tokyo. I want to not talk any Lakers. I just want to talk about all the different food that's out there. Amazing. There's my plug for Japan right there. Okay, just kind of going back to Anthony Davis for a quick second, and I'll squeeze in one more call, and then we got Trevor Lane coming up from Lakers Nation. On the AD front, there's no team that has – the biggest advantage the Lakers have over the Clippers is Anthony Davis. The biggest advantage that the Lakers have over many teams is that there's no answer to AD. So that's why when I see Anthony Davis, and I think, you know, today was a perfect example of it, the whole team just came out really no energy, hanging out, no big deal, we're good to go. And I think that's typically just a sign of a team that is thinking they could turn it on at any moment. In most cases, that would be the case. Like, you understand, you get it. The only difference here is all these teams have been away from basketball for so long. So to try and get what you had, that's going to be a challenge. Steve in La Habra, thank you for calling in, Steve. Go ahead, bud.
I want to say, you know, I've told you before, you have a great show. And I know the radio station is going to change some things. And I'm really going to miss hearing you on my drive home after a long day of work of being a UPS driver. You made me chill, man, with your voice. And, I want to thank you in advance. So
I appreciate that. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the last few months. You know, Anthony Davis is going to make or break the Lakers. I'm a Clipper fan, as you well know. But, you know, the greatest thing to ever happen to Anthony Davis was getting teamed up with LeBron James to stick his foot up his butt and tell him, you know, you need to be more aggressive and, you know, shoot the ball, get rebounds, get blocks, get steals. Because Anthony Davis, I guess they say he's a Hall of Famer, but he's no Kareem. He's no Bill Walton, Bill Russell. You know, these centers, that should be centers, that were aggressive, that showed up every night. I mean, there's no reason Anthony Davis, who's the biggest, strong, one of the strongest, most talented guys on the court, shouldn't dominate the court every day like a Moses Malone, Akeem Olajuwon did every night in and out. So LeBron, you know, I loved him in Cleveland, didn't like him in Miami. But I got to tell you, the greatest thing that ever happened to Anthony Davis was getting teamed up with LeBron to lead him to hopefully put it in gear every night.
Well, Steve, and I appreciate you calling into the show. You know, all those players that you just named off, Kareem, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Moses Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon. You went down with these, you know, unbelievable players. All of them had one thing in common. You're not considered a great until you're winning championships. And that's going to be the case with Anthony Davis as we get into the postseason. I've said this, you know, this is the most important stage of his career to this point, right? He's only 26, so where's he going to be in 2-3 years from now, and what's that going to look like? He'll have other stages in his career where things obviously become heightened. But at the same time, you know, I think so much of this has to do when we have the conversation about AD. And Steve, it's a good point that, you know, this is his chance to be with LeBron James. LeBron's a champion. He's going to take his game to another gear. That's what we're going to wait for in the postseason. Steve from La Habra is a Clippers fan. By the way, I love when I get a Clipper fan calling into a Lakers talk, which, by the way, it doesn't bother me at all because I want these perspectives. We can't just have the lens just from, you know, a fan perspective. Sometimes I need somebody to help me be a little bit more objective on some of this stuff. The one huge advantage the Lakers have over the Clippers, the team that everybody thinks we're going to be facing in the, you know, Western Conference Finals, is AD. That's the advantage. Who the hell stops Anthony Davis? So a lot's going to be on AD's shoulders when we get to that point. All right, I want to just kind of start promoting here. So Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Everybody knows Trevor. He's made a lot of appearances on Lakers Talk. I want to get his thoughts, not just on where the Lakers are, but I want to talk about this bubble. I mean, the NBA had another clean slate of negative tests. I think it was another 343 players that were tested. And I believe that's 3 weeks in a row where they haven't had one positive test. Which I think if you're the NBA and, you know, your commissioner Adam Silver, and I know how responsible they are, they're not going to, they won't take their foot off the gas. They're going to continue to be as thorough as they've been. But what a freaking compliment to the NBA finding a way to make this work. And, you know, I think today would be 2 weeks away from the playoffs starting. Lakers got to Orlando. It was July 9th, so they've almost been there now for 30 days. It's been an incredible accomplishment, but there's still a lot more basketball left to be played. And obviously the Lakers putting themselves in a position, all these NBA teams putting themselves in a position, led by the commissioner and the Players Association, Michelle Roberts. What a feat so far. Let's see if they could keep this thing going. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sometimes when I have a song that I really like, I just don't talk right away. I allow myself to listen to the music. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk. We'll go till 9 o'clock. Let me welcome in Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Trevor, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, Alan. How about you?
Okay, so let's do this. Let's start here. I know I can start with Lakers 2-2, and we could spend some time on the restart and everything else, but I want to get your thoughts on this because I don't know how much you're watching the race for number 8, but is that not one of the best storylines of this entire restart? And I bring that up to you, Trev, because if the NBA, which I think they were, I think this was an idea where they have this in mind for other seasons, even outside of this COVID and this Orlando bubble. How intriguing is the fight for the final playoff spot? I find myself, what are the Spurs doing? What are the Suns doing? What are the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Grizzlies doing? Are you that intrigued, or is this just me?
No, I mean, I'm intrigued. I know part of the reason why I'm so intrigued is because the Lakers are going to be playing whoever ends up in that 18th, so I'm definitely keeping an extra eye on it because of that. But it is interesting. You're seeing teams go out there and play like their lives depend on it. I mean, they're playing knowing that they are really playing for something. We've seen the Blazers going crazy. in some of these games, which has been a lot of fun, maybe a little bit scary from a Lakers perspective. But no, I like it. I like the concept. I like the idea behind it. And I think it is something that could eventually make its way into, if not the regular season, maybe some sort of a mid-season tournament that could feature some of these elements too. So I think you're on the money there, Alan.
Yeah, I love the way they structured it too. You know, basically they're saying, okay, if you end up at the ninth seed, you got to win two against the eighth. And as we look forward to, you know, obviously who the Lakers are going to play in the first round, you know, I got to be honest, Trev. I mean, Memphis might not be in this play-in game. They've lost four games in a row. They obviously lost Jaren Jackson Jr., which is a huge blow for them. They lost that first game against the Blazers in this, you know, in this bubble, and really gave up a lead towards the end that has changed all the momentum. If it's Lakers-Blazers in the first round, do you think there's too much hype around the Blazers right now, or do you think that that could present a real problem for the Lakers?
Oh, no, I don't. I definitely don't think there's too much hype around the Blazers. I think they could be a legitimate problem. And, you know, I'm not saying that I would pick the Blazers to win that.
That's it. Trevor just said Lakers are losing to the Blazers. You heard it here. No, I'm kidding.
Don't put that on me, Alan. Come on. But no, I think that the Blazers are a real formidable challenge. And people who look at them and say, oh, this team wasn't that good during the regular season, what are you talking about? The Lakers are going to crush them. No, this is a healthy Blazers team now. They've got Yusuf Nurkic back. He makes a huge difference, not to mention Zach Collins has come back as well. This Blazers team was so depleted during the regular season that their go-to to defend Anthony Davis was Carmelo Anthony. Like, that was who was starting defending Anthony Davis in the regular season. This team does not look like that anymore. Yes, they've lost Trevor Ariza, and that will absolutely hurt them, but this is a very, very good team, and so I don't think the hype is blown out of proportion or anything. They just beat the Rockets for a reason. This is a strong Blazers team.
You know what's so crazy, and we'll go back to I'll go to the Lakers in a second, but you're talking about that Portland Rockets game. You know, here's a team that everyone was talking about in the Rockets. Watch out for Houston. They just beat Milwaukee. You know, this is a team that plays so unorthodox. They're a wild card. They could present problems. This is a conversation. People are saying that these are the teams that have a chance to win an NBA championship. Lakers, Clippers, Toronto, you know, some folks are throwing in there, Milwaukee, and then Houston is this like fifth wild card that people are throwing in there. And there goes Portland, just handles business and beats them yesterday. So that does kind of, you know, raise the question, I think, in this Orlando bubble. The fact that there's no home court, the fact that these are basically neutral sites, that any guy can get going on any given evening, it's going to make these playoffs so unpredictable, if you understand how I'm referencing that, Trev.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With no home court, who knows what things are going to look like.
Hurts the Lakers, you know.
What's that?
I said it hurts the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the Lakers battled to have that home court advantage, and that's gone. That's all gone already, and so that certainly hurts them. And not to mention, if they were matched up with the Clippers, that would have been potentially seven home games for the Lakers. I don't care whose logo's on the court. That would have been a pro-Lakers crowd, and so that's gone. It absolutely hurt them. And then you've got teams that have guys who can blow up in a second, like Damian Lillard, like James Harden, all these players, and there's no home court advantage. Yeah, I think that the environment in Orlando, and it's a bad thing for the Lakers, has created an increased likelihood of an upset. And that's not a good thing when you are the number one team.
Yeah, and it seems Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation joining Lakers Talk. It seems, Trev, too, I mean, you know, we'll use the Lakers-Clippers and just that matchup. I was at that game on that Sunday, the last game the Lakers won here at Staples Center. They lost to Brooklyn in the next game, and then the game, you know, the NBA stopped. But it was easy, over 60% Laker fans at that Clippers home game. And that's not a surprise. It's not a shock. This isn't me throwing a jab at the Clippers. That's just the reality of LA and Laker fans and so forth. But those little things that the Lakers had as an advantage, obviously not playing as much as an advantage anymore, this kind of brings me to my point now. Here are the Lakers now, 2-2 in this restart. Avery Bradley's not a part of this team. Rondo won't come until the second round. You have guys like KCP that's now part of the starting lineup. You got the Lakers struggling like no team I've seen in the NBA, at least, you know, in this short span, from the three-point line, from the field, from the free throw line. Is this something to be concerned about, or is this part of the process of just working through these prep games till you get to the postseason?
I think yes and no. I think the shooting isn't necessarily something to be concerned about. I mean, if you're looking right now over these last four games, they're at about 40% from the field and about 25% from the three-point line, which is terrible. But do we believe that the Lakers are truly that bad of a shooting team? I don't. I don't think they are. I think that they are a team made up of better shooters than that. And so at some point, there will be a positive regression to the mean, and at some point they will start shooting better. A four-game sample size is extremely small, so I would expect that to turn around. However, I think what we have seen that you could be a little bit, maybe should be a little bit concerned about, is the defense without Avery Bradley. We've certainly seen a drop-off there, and I think it goes to prove just how important Avery Bradley was to not just their defensive capabilities in terms of having somebody who can defend some of the better guards in the league, like, you know, when Kyle Lowry blew up on them the other night. But it also shows how his energy was infectious in the Lakers defense and how much of an impact he made in that way too. And they've been missing that. So I think that is a challenge that they're going to have to overcome. And I don't know if they can, you know, mitigate that by getting better on the offensive end and becoming more efficient there. But losing Bradley was certainly a blow. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on as well.
Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. You can listen to Trevor. He does a great job on Lakers Nation before games, after games. You know, when you mention it like that, Trev, when you talk about just the blow of not having Avery Bradley, it shows how critical each piece is, you know? And I know if you thought Avery Bradley, and for maybe more of a casual fan, they might not think it's that big of a deal that, oh, it's Avery Bradley. Go look at his stats. It's not that critical. Man, a small piece like that can go such a long way. And all of a sudden, you know, what became some of the strengths for the Lakers, I think, are hurting. I want to roll with the Rondo part for a quick second. You know, we've heard playoff Rondo. That's been obviously a saying that's been a real thing for a long time. Lakers wouldn't get him until the second round. Are you seeing some things right now where you're like, oh, wow, if Rondo was in, maybe some of this shooting would improve just because of the way Rondo sets guys up? Is there something to that, or do you think these guys are just, they're off in their shooting, and if Rondo comes back, that's not going to virtually change that much?
I don't think it's going to change a ton. I mean, look, the offense for the second unit was stalling out when Rondo was running the show, so I don't anticipate him coming back and him being this you know, magic elixir that's going to suddenly make them start hitting shots. Does he maybe generate a few more open looks here or there? Sure. But I think a lot of it is they're just missing some good open looks at this point. What Rondo can do, though, is bring that kind of veteran presence, be a little bit more of a steadying force out there on the court. So when things tend to get a little bit chaotic, he knows when it's time to pull things back and try to set things up. So I think that he's a good fit in that regard. But at the same time, I like what we've seen out of Deion Waiters. So I'm already looking at the second unit and thinking, okay, when Rondo comes back, where are his minutes coming from? Hopefully not at the expense of Waiters, who's been a great fit. Alex Caruso still got to get in there. So I think that might be a little bit of a, you know, puzzle piece challenge for Frank Vogel. But ultimately, regardless, it'll be nice to have him back just to have a veteran presence. But I don't necessarily think Rondo is going to magically fix all the shooting woes.
All right, final one for you, Trev. If KCP, him and Danny Green had struggled from the perimeter, let's say KCP, or I guess I'm just going to focus on KCP. Let's say KCP's struggles continue. You think coach makes a move there? You think he throws Caruso in and says, all right, let me try another player. Let me see if I could get a guy that's going to maybe be a little bit more aggressive at slashing to the basket, matches up defensively against some of these other guards. Or do you think he rolls with KCP?
You know what? I think he might. I think he's going to stick with KCP as long as he possibly can. I mean, we saw it at the beginning of the season. KCP struggled. Vogel stuck with him, and he was rewarded for sticking with him because KCP turned in the best season of his career. So I think that the inclination will be there to stick with him. But come playoff time, if Vogel is losing games and KCP is not playing well, he may hit a point where he has no choice but to try something else. I certainly don't think we're at that point yet.
but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Can KCP, can guys like Danny Green, can these guys get going? And hopefully it happens sooner rather than later, because if not, at some point, as much as Vogel wants to stick with his guys, that choice is going to be kind of taken out of his hands if it's do or die in the playoffs and you can't trust those guys to hit shots.
Trev, thank you, bud. I appreciate it, and always enjoy listening to your work on Lakers Nation.
Hey, thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate you having me on, and let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. All right, that's Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. All right, we come back. I want to spend a little time. I got to talk with Trev about it, some of these different matchups in the first round for the Lakers. That's it. I'm done with the regular season. These four games are made. I'm already looking to August 18th. Who's coming with me? But when we come back, I want to spend a little time looking at this play-in tournament that, you know, obviously these teams are fighting for, and some of the matchups of who the Lakers would face. And, oh, by the way, Lakers and the Rockets tomorrow. And there's no guarantee that a lot of the Lakers stars are going to play in this one. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, a big thank you to the Wallace Firm. Appreciate them being a partner of Lakers Talk. Wallace Firm, team of proven trial lawyers. Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS. If you've suffered a serious loss, the Wallace Firm are the serious lawyers to get you the W, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. Okay, so as we come to an end to the show, obviously we will have the opportunity tomorrow to get a chance to watch and to listen to the Lakers and the Rockets, and they can get back on track. But can I just talk about this play-in tournament real quick? Can I talk about these teams who are fighting for the number 8 seed? How freaking exciting that's been. I mean, who would have thought all these games coming back, teams like the Thunder and the Rockets and Denver and the Jazz, you got the Clippers, and I'm like, yeah, not right now, guys. I'm too busy trying to watch if Memphis, San Antonio, Phoenix, or the Portland Trailblazers are going to grab that last slot in the Western Conference. I heard Trevor Lane, you know, from Lakers Nation. He was talking about how, well, of course, he's paying attention to it because the circumstances. Whoever wins is going to eventually play the Los Angeles Lakers. But I'm not even watching these games just for that. I'm watching because it's interesting basketball. That's the drama that you're looking for. I mentioned to Michael in the pregame show, I told MT, I said, listen, if this was a conversation, if there was a conversation in the past, if there was a conversation about will the NBA have some type of a play-in tournament during a regular season, during a season where we're not in the middle of a pandemic, where there is an 82-game schedule, teams are flying all over the country, fans are in arenas. This is something they got to consider. Who would have thought that it's that interesting and that it's that exciting? The storylines right now in the NBA are all about that number 8 spot in the Western Conference. They really have been. And I think that's a compliment and an opportunity of another way of garnering interest from fans. I think the conversation was that 7 through 10 would be fighting for the final two spots. They'd have some type of a play-in tournament. And I think the way the NBA structured this to where, let's say Portland is the 8 seed and Spurs are the 9, and I'm starting to take Memphis out of the mix here because they're 0-4 now in this bubble. But let's say it's the Blazers, and let's say it's the San Antonio Spurs. Well, that means San Antonio would have to win two games against the Portland Trailblazers. I even like the way they structured it. I think all of that, you know, obviously has jived well and it's made a ton of sense. And the NBA in general, man, is this sport winning? You know, we got games starting as early as 10:30 during the day or in the morning, and the final game they have is tipping off at 6 o'clock. It's not an ideal situation. It's not an ideal predicament. But what it is it's the execution of a corporation and an entity like the NBA taking advantage as best as they can under the circumstances, and they really are doing it. Okay, Lakers, Rockets, coming up tomorrow, so don't forget about that. I'll do pregame show with Michael Thompson starting at 4:30. 6 o'clock will be tip-off. And then tomorrow morning on ESPN LA, the morning show starts at 6 a.m. So we got a lot of Lakers basketball to get into, a lot of local sports to talk about. So we appreciate you being a part of the show. Thank you to Steve Paulette as well. LA, have a great rest of your night.